Simon Wilson is the the New Zealand Herald's Auckland Issues correspondent, among many, many things. Great to have you with us. Good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Are people talking about the next mayoral elections already?
Well, people sort of were, but then the Ratepayers Alliance and Curia did a poll, which temporarily thrusted up the pecking order of things that Aucklanders talk about, and it had a somewhat surprising result. Simon Bridges, people will remember him, who is now the chief executive of the Auckland Business Chamber, that's the old Chamber of Commerce, he was out in front. It was one of these polls where they do a favourability and unfavourability rating. Simon Bridges got a net plus 18% favourability rating, which put him ahead of Paula Bennett, who used to be his deputy, of course, in the National Party in Parliament. Also Wayne Brown, the current mayor, both of them got plus 12%. Wayne Brown's current deputy, Desley Simpson, who was extremely popular during the flooding crisis that we had at the beginning of 2023, she's on plus 10%, probably a little lower than people might have expected. And then there's a couple of Labour names that were in the list. Richard Hills, who's the current, I think he's third term councillor now, negative 1%. And Michael Wood, the former Minister for Transport and for Auckland, negative 9%. Michael Wood, it has to be said, has categorically ruled himself out.
All right. Were these names suggested to respondents or did they come up with them themselves? Were they suggested?
Yeah. Yes, the names are on a list. That's right. So people were choosing from a list. I guess a couple of the things that are interesting there are that the National Party appears to have three strong candidates: Simon Bridges, Paula Bennett, and Desley Simpson. Bridges has played his cards close to his chest, hasn't declared. I bumped into Paula Bennett in a lift the other day and said, "Look, I'm really sorry to trap you in a lift, but can I ask, are you standing?" And she didn't deny it. And so you can read into that what you will.
Well, the question then becomes whether there's pressure to do a deal, but some of the personalities involved here, one wonders how that would go.
I think you're absolutely right. And Desley Simpson, I suspect, is sitting there going, haven't I earned the right? Who are these carpetbaggers? Well, she knows who they are. So there will probably be some kind of deal, but I think the deal will happen after a good deal of, fighting with short daggers.
A real surprise in there? And if so, why?
It's interesting that Wayne Brown, who is doing pretty well, but not very well, is, I guess it's interesting he's where he is. It means that he hasn't been able to convince people that he is fixing Auckland, but nor has he been able to convince people that he's doing it, nor has he allowed people to think he's doing a terrible job. So he's in there. I would say I talk to Wayne Brown pretty regularly these days. I talked to him yesterday. He's not loving the job. He's like all mayors around the country. He's struggling to get a decent 10-year budget through his council at the moment. That will come to the pointy end of things later this month and then into next month. And at the moment, he doesn't appear to have the numbers to get his plans through. He's finding that really, really difficult. So whether he'll be around again, he's older than Donald Trump, remember. He's almost as old as Joe Biden. It's just not clear. And then the other thing that's interesting is that you might think that with a plethora of National Party people plus the possibility of Wayne Brown, there was a gap there for the Labour Party. Labour has always had the Auckland mayoralty with Len Brown and then Phil Goff for two terms each between them. They'll clearly want it back, but they've got to find a very high-profile candidate who has credibility and big public appeal.
And do they have one?
Well, nobody has come out of the woodwork and said, it's going to be me. Professor Collins, of course, tried in the last election, and it wasn't him. But the name that people are talking about, and you hear it, it from a number of sources, is Oscar Keightley. Oscar Keightley is close to Labour. And is a comedian, a writer, an actor, very personable guy, has been politically active in the community level for a long time, and It might well be that somebody like that, Oscar Tightley, could well turn out to
Does
be
he
the Labour
want it?
candidate. Yeah, it's not. I think he is said to be extremely ambitious. Let's put it that way.
What
you
a
heard
wonderful...
it here first, by the way.
I understand. What a wonderful euphemism. He is said to be extremely ambitious. Oh, I'm going to use that. It's up there.
You probably know one or two of them yourself.
Very good. Okay. Now, staying with polls and also staying with not getting ahead of selves, which is the great debate over the One News variant poll. Nonetheless, some interest. They're always an interesting indicator of mood at a time, if nothing else. And what about the latest poll with respect to Auckland and Auckland voters?
The latest poll is interesting because the heat's come out of the love between population and the coalition government. We know that from the poll. The thing about Auckland is that while it's always tempting to think that a national New Zealand First Act coalition will be grounded in the provinces, will have a big appeal to people who don't live in the sophisticated big cities. The National Party is strongest in Auckland. The biggest swing in the last election was in Auckland. Auckland is a National Party town right now, politically. Yet what is very surprising is that National hasn't responded to that. The 100-day plan that we had, the current government targets we have, there's no sense of an Auckland plan in all that. Christopher Luxon himself hasn't made any kind of high-profile attempt to say, I know how important Auckland is to the economy, to our society, to everything that matters, and therefore we are going to focus on making that city as great as it ought to be. He hasn't done anything to suggest that that's how he's thinking, and that is a surprise.
Okay, well, let's have a look at some other issues that are around about the place at the moment. House prices and school zones. it's probably the main city anyway, where this becomes almost one and the same. Can you just give us a bit of detail on what the latest data tells us?
It's a peak Auckland issue, and you could argue it's a peak New Zealand issue in a way. My newspaper has published a story this week which lists the average house prices for every school zone in the city, which I just want to say it's fascinating. It's perhaps not as fascinating as people want it to be. I know I've been in Auckland 20 years now. When I arrived in Auckland, one of the first, and I went to an event which was welcoming me to my new job, and the first thing anybody said to me, there was a person got up right in my face and said, where are you sending your kids to school? And I thought, whoa. And you don't get that nearly so much in other parts of the city. I'd come from Wellington, where pretty much everyone sent their kids to the local school. I would say that's still pretty good advice for most people. If you buy the house you like and you can afford, and you send your kids to the local school, it's a pretty good way in which the society operates. But that is just me. If you want to know more, there's that big story in the Herald which picks about those prices. And of course, it's going to tell you that what we used to call upper decile zones have higher house prices. What a shock. That's what the decile means.
Okay, but very pronounced indeed. All right. Time of use charging. Now, this is the new name for what was called congestion charging. I'm not sure if there's a significant difference. They're certainly aiming to do the same thing. And there was a sense that the previous Labor government was very close to pushing go on this. Where are things at now?
They are. It's congestion charging and time of use charging. I think time of use charging is perhaps best understood as a subset of congestion charging. Mm. There's lots of different ways you can introduce congestion charging. Perhaps the most famous way is what London does. They have a circle around the city. You drive through into that circle, you pay. Time of use charging is a proposal that Mayor Wayne Brown is keen on, which is that certain roads, particularly certain bits of motorway, at certain times of the day attract a toll. The government has picked up on this idea and appears to favour it as the version of congestion charging they want. All the arguments are in favour of congestion charging except that to make it work, you've got to have really viable alternatives for people who don't want to keep paying more money to drive their car. And that means you've got to have, in particular, very good public transport. So the thing that has delayed the introduction of any kind of congestion charging in Auckland or anywhere else effectively is that public transport isn't good enough yet. At the moment, there are business lobby groups that are actively saying, let's just introduce this damn thing, let's get it done. Wayne Brown is saying the same thing. Yeah. But actually, to make it work, to make it popular, there needs to be a lot more money put into public transport. And at the moment, with the removal of the regional fuel tax and with various other measures announced by the government in their policy statement on transport, there will be less money going into public transport than we have seen, if you accept the big projects like the CRL. Yeah, but general, just ordinary public transport through most suburbs is going to suffer. So if you're talking about introducing time of use charging, but you're not also talking about putting on more buses, making them more reliable, and making them their trips faster by giving them dedicated lanes, then you are going to get into trouble when you try and introduce that extra tax.
Let's just talk about the stadium, not unrelated to transport ultimately, depending on where you put it. And where are we at with a decision on location and who and when and if?
So the council set up a working group late last year, which was chaired by Councillor Shane Henderson. And it had some councillors and some other interested parties involved in that. They heard from four different proposals, three of them for a new stadium somewhere on the waterfront, all different locations. And the fourth was Eden Park itself, who said, give us the money and we'll put a roof on Eden Park and extend it and make it a superb experience. Eden Park calls itself the National Stadium. It's a name they give themselves. It has no official status. No one else calls them that. But that's what they like to think. And it is generally thought that the Eden Park proposal might be cheaper than the other options, cheaper for ratepayers and taxpayers, that is. Although it's not known, because the working group has now made a decision. They're not telling us what it is. They're going to report to council later this month, and that's when it will be made public. And their decision, of course, is just a recommendation to council. Nobody has any money. Well, nobody in the public sector has any money, and that means that it could well be that Eden Park, a dressed-up Eden Park, is the favoured option. However, there is an enormous feeling in the city, I think, that if we did have a waterfront stadium, it would be marvellous for the city. A stadium not just for sport, of course, but for concerts, for other events. And one of the proposals in particular is to locate that stadium in a precinct which has hotels, a lot of commercial activity, a lot of nightlife, very good public transport connectivity, very good road connectivity as well, all of which means that you would be really enlivening the whole downtown area. And if there was a way to make that work, I imagine that would get very strong public support. The question is how you make it work. Wayne Brown has told me that he doesn't mind council giving land to people, but he doesn't see it as a role for ratepayers.
And show me the money, honey, and
so that's right.
And everything else.
Exactly,
Simon.
Right. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Simon Wilson of the New Zealand Herald.